Blog Talk Radio.
I'll share any minute. Now the connection set everything, so it's going to take a while to load up. We've got at the pre-show 10 minutes from now. We're zooming right into her interview, but you know, she's super fit. But she's at 1, and she's got 18 knockouts, I think. But she's making the news, making some waves. We're saying to Ronda Rousey and her trainer, you know, don't make claims you can't back up about boxing and Ronda's boxing skills. So.
We've talked about multiple times. A couple of years ago, when Anderson Silva was the number one guy in the UFC, and he kept calling out Roy Jones. And you know, you might have some training, you might have some, but that's like Michael Jordan, you know, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, could barely break double A in the ball. It's like you may do, you know, something really great, and you may have some skills that are transferable, but at the same time, it's not your bread and butter. You're taking yourself out of your comfort zone, where you might be the best in your sports, you may only be mediocre in another.
Trained a lot in boxing. Said Edmund Tavernier doesn't know about his training. What's his name there? Victor. So he's obviously done some boxing training. You know, obviously, I don't think he's got any boxing champions under his belt, but he's got a lot of experience doing his recognition. It's pretty nasty with punching, but. You know, to make those claims that you could beat any of the world champions out there and be a world boxer, I mean, watch your step. That's the same thing that happened with all the jiu-jitsu girls when she saw, you know, being able to take out any of the jiu-jitsu girls. Any weight instead, I think. So it's pretty crazy when she gets to that. We'll see if she does it. I don't think it'll ever happen. If she can even edge her out of MMA, but even then, UFC would approve. But it'd be interesting. It'd definitely be interesting to see. You know? That's why I'm waiting so long to get into MMA. You know, it's such a different game from boxing. Boxing is a at least it's a lot easier to go being based to MMA if you've got a little bit of something else. You know, like, it would be great. Maybe it'd be better than he does in boxing. Nobody in MMA has seen those kind of outside hooks. There's fighters in boxing. Boxing is getting better and better. You know, you cannot deny that. Better and better each fight, and obviously 34 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this fight never really went to the ground.
Right.
Yeah. I will tell you one thing, and I'll, you go back and show them on like Sloan Center or whatever, and you know, I guess they were like a way in, they were going to go face to face. And Rousey came up with her, you know, her traditional look, that stone face, you're about to get fucked up look. And I remember even when she did the thing at WrestleMania this year, and The Rock called her in the ring, and she looked at me and Rock, you know, that means you're about to get your ass flipped. And I just had her stone face on, like, you're about to get it. Correa or whatever her name, she had this animated look from like a monster in a cartoon. And I remember looking at her and her, like, her and trying to look intimidating, like she is scared. She can act like she is not. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing right through her. I'm sure Ron is too.
Yeah, she made a lot of bold claims going into this fight, and apparently she said to Ronda at the way, and you know, don't cry when I knock you out. So Ronda turned around and knocking her out and said, "Don't cry."
Yeah, remember one of the very first shows I did with you when I had my friend Simon call on the phone, and Simon, because of, you know, what happened, you know, in his personal life, you know, he really didn't get a pro career start until much later. And, you know, about four or five weight classes heavier than he really should have been. Simon should have been no more than a junior. And he just, you know, he was, you know, not big enough for that. But his first fight, on camp prison and having this fight, I'm there in the attendance, and I wasn't even writing for you yet. That's how long ago it was. And the guy that he's fighting is jumping up and down, and screaming. And I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, this guy looks ridiculous. And Simon sprinted across the ring. And I was facing his opponent. And his opponent, when he saw Simon spin across the ring, his jaw dropped, and he just kind of ducked his head down, and Simon threw one big overhand right, hit the guy on the chops. The guy went right down and actually went under the bottom rope. But that was what it reminded me of when she was doing all that animation before the fight and in the weigh-in and all that. I'm like, she's scared to death. Just like this boy was 10 years ago. And when Ronda came out there charging on them, what did she do? She basically, you know, she crumbled.
Tom, can you hear us?
Yeah, so our connection's not the best, but I think we'll carry on. So, yeah, here are we are.
We have your psychic waves.
Well, I'll say this much. After last Saturday, and this is the first time you guys have heard me say that, I do think that if Ronda fights Cyborg, she has to be the favorite now. I mean, her game is so well-rounded. I mean, that was a pro boxing demonstration. And before, she was just one-note Johnny, but now I don't know what Edwin's done with her at the Glendale Fighting Club, but whatever he's done, you can't knock the results. So, I mean, it's been building, and it just seems like every fight gets quicker and quicker. So I'd have to say she's definitely got to be the favorite if the fight happens. But I'm not even thinking about it happening anymore. I just don't see it. I just get the feeling that, I mean,
well,
I don't
to be scared about Pacquiao.
The what?
Repeat the question or the statement, Tony. I don't think Tom
heard. I said, how many years did we say that about Mayweather and Pacquiao?
Well, yeah, a very good point, but it seems like Ronda, the problem that still irks me, though, is the fact that she's continually promoted as the baddest woman on the planet, and she was going to go up, and she would fight Leila Ali, who weighed 170, she would fight Gina Carano at 145, but when Cyborg is mentioned, there's all these excuses. Now, if we look at boxing, go back to, and I bet this is some trivia that Tony's probably going to answer. Tony, what was Billy Kahn's weight for the Joe Louis challenge when he moved up in weight?
What, Billy Kahn when he fought Joe Louis?
Yeah, the first time when he got at the weigh-in. You remember?
9 or something.
Okay, 169.
Billy Kahn when he fought Joe Louis. 169, is that right?
Right on the money, buddy. That's why Rich Page in the big bucks, you know. And then we can use the example of Michael Spinks. Now, Michael Spinks hurdled the whole cruiserweight division and took on an undefeated heavyweight champ, Larry Holmes. And the weight wasn't an issue there. And we can keep going. Sugar Ray Leonard eventually moved up to fight Marvin Hagler. Roy Jones moved up to fight John Ruiz. I mean, we've seen this. If the fans want it, and all of a sudden, we're not seeing it. Now, it wouldn't bother me to say Ronda's the baddest 135-pound woman on the planet. But that's not the advertisement. And I would still like to see that. So, I hope, you know, I hope I'm wrong about this, but asking Cyborg to get to 135 would be probably like asking me to get to it. So I just don't know. I mean, she said she should make 140. I don't see what's wrong with the catch weight, but obviously it's not going to happen. I don't think. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope my crystal ball is foggy.
Well, Tom, we have a guest tonight coming right up any minute. Amanda Serrano. She is a super featherweight, I believe, 2-time world champ. And she's saying that Ronda and Edmund need to shut up about her being able to beat a world champion boxer. She keeps playing in the company.
Well, that would sure be fun to see, because I got your email, and bear with me, I got a bit of laryngitis tonight, but I got your email and Googled her, and this gal's got some pop in her punches. I mean, she's definitely the real deal. What is it, 24-1 with 18 KOs? Wow. So, yeah, that would be great. I mean, you know, you put yourself in Joe Silva's shoes. What do you do with Ronda? I mean, do we have to keep seeing all these girls get recycled again and again and again and again and again? I mean, how long can they keep charging all this pay-per-view money? I mean, I don't know, maybe there's no limit to it, but I just don't see how that can keep going. They're going to have to come up with some kind of new gimmick here for, I think.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Amanda right now. We booked her on the first slot just in time. Big news later, Vince and all that stuff. But we'll talk to her about it. She wants with Ronda, of course, her.
Hello.
Hello, Jordan.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
This is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited.
Yes, of course. I was I just got a text also from Fernando. He said you guys are gonna call now. Plus I expected you guys anyway. I believe you guys said at 8:30 anyway, so we were waiting for you. How's it going, buddy? Everything good?
Good, good. Good stuff. We just got done talking about Ronda and Amanda's challenge.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you want me to put Amanda on the phone?
Sure.
Okay, hold on a second.
Hello?
Hello, Amanda.
Yes.
So, this is Rich. We've got Tony the Tornado Pentacal and Psychic Tom Padgett's going to read your fortune.
That's it. How you doing, Amanda?
Good. How are you guys doing?
All right.
I'm good.
Now, tell us about this challenge you've made to Ronda Rousey.
Yes. I respect Ronda Rousey. She's a great fighter. She's done, like I said before, she's done great things for female athletes in the octagon, out the octagon. I have nothing but respect for her. But what was disrespectful was her trainer saying that she's able to beat any world champion boxer. She's great at MMA. I'm a boxer. I'm a world champion fighter. You know, there's different techniques as a boxer. You know, these MMA girls, they have limited boxing skills. And when they fight her, they just go and, like, charge at her. You know, boxing is different. The first round, you know, you want to feel your opponent out. You want to, you know, move your head, throw a couple of punches. And if you feel that you can get them, you just get them out of there. But Ronda has very, very limited boxing skills. I mean, her last two fights, she's won supposedly striking, but they weren't impressive. I mean, she's an impressive MMA fighter. She's incredible judo, jiu-jitsu. Her ground game is incredible. But just for someone to say that her boxing skills is world champion boxer, it's kind of sad.
And that's one thing, you know, I say on here a lot, because, you know, I did a lot of boxing, and I'm a traditional boxing guy. And, I mean, I train, and I focus a lot on technique. When you go out there and you attack and you strike a person that is, once again, also a person in a similar skill set as you are, a lot of big matches, a lot of... back and forth with proper fight to get proper punches. I was at an MMA gym one time. They wanted somebody to come in and teach some boxing techniques, so they asked me to come in, and I walked out when the owner said to me, well, don't waste time on technique, because I said, thank you for the offer, I will leave now.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it was a lot of muffling. I really couldn't hear what you were saying.
Tony. Tony's connection bad.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I was just talking. It was very, like, muffling. I couldn't really understand.
Oh. Yeah, I was on speakerphone. Is this any better?
Yeah.
What I was saying was, exactly, Yolanda did very well against a person with a similar.
Hello?
Which I don't think she can hear me. Do you want to repeat my question?
Yes, please, because I really didn't hear anything. You thought like you were underwater.
Well, let me call Tony right back. Let me see if we can get a better connection with him.
Yeah, you sound good. Is there three people or two people?
It's pretty different, you know. Basically, hands up. You know, of course, if you strike with somebody that's going to throw punches right at you. How's it? Can you hear him?
Yeah. Fine. Can you guys hear me?
Can you hear him now? Amanda?
Yeah.
Did you hear him better?
Yeah, let me get it.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, Amanda, first, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you better.
No, what I was saying was, because I've dealt with boxing for 20 years, and I train people, and I've been involved in the sport. I'm very traditional. And here's what I've been saying about MMA for a good 10, 12 years now. It's a different skill set. And, hey, it'd be great attacking and striking the person that is also not keen in that same type of boxing environment. You saw no pivots in there. Anything, you know, stepping behind a jab or shoulder, shifting your weight. And, you know, when you get in there and you're having, you know, someone that can use a lot of boxing skills against you, you know, that's like night and day from what, you know, she's used to dealing with. And if she gets in trouble, she can't do a takedown or she can't grapple to save herself.
Yes, exactly. I mean, she has all that other stuff that she can rely on if her striking isn't well. I mean, with me, that's all I have is my striking.
Right.
I train, specifically on my striking and my specific punches. But, you know, if her striking isn't good, she just brings it to the floor. And, you know, I'm not saying she's a great MMA fighter. You know, I'm not challenging her in an MMA fight. She's challenging. Different type of fighting. You know, striking is striking and throw work is totally different. Call me out on that one.
Hey, don't you throw elbows every now and then?
I mean, I've gotten caught with a couple of them by the men in the gym when I hit them once or twice, but that's okay. It's okay. It's part of the punch.
Well, Amanda, I was saying before we had the bad connection, about 10 years ago, I was invited to go to a gym and train them on some boxing skills to add to their repertoire. And the owner's wife, you know, she's like, She's like, you're not going to waste time on technique, are you? Because boxing is just punching people. It's no technique. I said,
no,
I thank you for the invitation. I thank you for the invitation. I'm glad you had me here. I will leave now. Thank you.
Wow, that was smart of you. Yeah, because it's all technique. Where to punch, how to turn your fist, and all that stuff. And, you know, and it's all science. You know, it's really, really technical. I don't know. Thank God you left that person. That
yeah. And not just like setting up punches. A lot of it's seeing and reacting to what the other person, learning how to see how their shoulder switches, and they're going to throw that jab, how to block, slip, catch their jab, and counter it. You know,
exactly,
people
yeah.
don't think that. It's, or how to roll your weight on your back foot and come over the top with you know your power hand. People don't think about that. It's just punching people. No, it's not. I wanted to put her through one of my workouts.
Yeah, anybody, just working an hour with just striking, you know, your shoulder. It works different parts of your body,
yeah.
your upper body as well. Your shoulders burn, your back the next day, it's everything, your forearm to my knuckles, they hurt.
Yeah. You know, and I think you'll like this quote. And if anybody ever says this, I give you full permission to use this. If anybody ever says, you know, hey, I want you to, you know, come in here and, you know, teach them boxing, but don't spend time on technique. Just get them in there hitting the bags and everything, but don't waste time on technique. I said, you don't need me. You can have a trained chimp come in here and say, hit that bag for four rounds. You don't need to pay me.
Yeah, you can do that in the beginning of your career as an amateur growing up, but that's what happened to me. And as an amateur, my trainer didn't worry about technique. He just said, you know, and he taught me the right technique. But when I would fight, he wouldn't critique my technique. But now as a professional fighter, as a world champion, everything is down to the technique and how I'm throwing my punches, how I'm rotating my hips and my shoulders with the punches. So now everything is technique.
Yeah,
just like
absolutely.
Like everything's technique with her ground game. You know, she has a split second she can grab someone's arm and give them the arm or them tap out. You know, it's technique. It's all technique.
Yeah, something I've noticed about mixed martial arts in general, not just the female ranks. I mean, you got Holly Holm out there. I mean, she's a very defensive fighter. I wonder how she would match up with Ronda once she gets really seasoned in there.
Her trainer said, Ronda Rousey's trainer said the same thing about her, that she'll be able to beat her in a striking match, which I doubt it. I mean, she knows she's been in there with the best. She's a multi-world champion. I doubt that very much. I mean, I don't know if she gets on the floor, what's going to happen there, but I've not seen her in boxing. She was a great champion, but I really never watched her MMA fight, so.
Yeah, she's had a couple. I just saw her last one. She's had a couple that she wanted to be more aggressive, but she just ended up being very defensive, and they went all three rounds, and she really didn't get a nick on her. You know, so she did well, but she just wanted to be more dominant. That's her style, though, from boxing, very defensive.
Yeah.
A lot of kicks in there. So she.
Yeah, actually,
Ranges.
Yeah, sorry. Hello?
Yeah, but the thing I noticed is there's a lack of defensive boxing technique in MMA. Defense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they just, yeah. But I wanted to throw in, I'm actually filming a movie with Holly Holm, so Misha Tate and Chris Cyborg, and I will really hope I can get some work in there with those girls to help, I mean, like, especially Misha Tate, when she fights Ronda Rousey again. That would be some good work.
Yeah, we've had her on the show before, right after she had the arm break and she was coming back from the first defeat. And, you know, it was pretty impressive, the resolve she had to do better the next time, and she did, obviously.
Yeah, I know, it's a tough little cookie, right? It's a tough little cupcake.
Yeah. What's been your greatest moment so far?
My greatest moment? My champion. I won the IBL. But the most was when I reached my recently when I won the in Argentina. That had to be the best feeling in the world, you know. Go out there, I think I was females who go out there and you know, in a long time. and that feeling was incredible. So she going there with the, she was defending her title for the fifth time and stopping her. It was, that was like special. Yeah, she was almost 64, you know, she was well known and just, she's a great person. But I had to bring that WB title back.
Awesome. And what's it like as a female fighter out there? We've had a lot of females from all different areas of the sports, different sports, combat sports over the years, but it's something that I respect more than a lot of people because I saw a girl on my wrestling team before wrestling was even popular for girls at all in Massachusetts. And she stayed there every year for all 3 years I was on the team. And she ended up being the first girl to ever wrestle for Harvard.
So that's
always impressed me as a woman who would get into combat sports, period. You know, a lot of people just go, why would you do that? You know, we had a big argument. We had an MMA debate, boxing versus MMA years ago on this show before it was on this network. But, and we had Ken Shamrock versus Iceman John Scully, who was a boxing trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Iceman was saying, no, women shouldn't be in boxing and combat sports. It should be pretty. And Ken Shamrock was saying, no, they should be. You know?
Well, we can do both. We can be pretty and we can fight.
There you go.
Good point. Good point.
That makes it even better, right? When you're pretty and you can kick some butt.
There you go.
That's it.
Do you have any role models or idols or people that really helped you out along the way?
Of course, my sister. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in this game. Watching her and her success, you know, it just motivated me to try it out. And look at me now. She's definitely one of my motivators. And any female athlete, you know, it's hard for females just to go out there and be in, like, in a male-dominated sport and not getting the recognition that they do. We work hard, we train hard, and we get nowhere near what they get. So, you know, especially, you know, like I said, Kim Rousey, she's a great athlete, and what she's done for female athletes in general is awesome. And, you know, I look up to her because she's a great inspiration for all female athletes.
Come down.
I just didn't like what her trainer said.
Yeah. Take a step back, Rhonda, and see where you're at here with the boxing.
And the only difference between Rhonda and me is she has the spotlight. She has promoters. She has Dana White. She has everyone behind her. And hopefully now I have a great team behind me and manager. I have a great advisor, David Schuster. We're going to take off promotion as well as my promoter, Greg Cole, is like that role. You know, they spotlight me, and that's what I'm seeing today, and hopefully the next couple of times will be aired on CBS as well. So, coming up, and maybe we'll just blow up just as the men do.
Yeah, we've been actually on Fight News Unlimited promoting you and your sister for 3 years, you know, probably. Interesting.
Yeah, yes.
So we've always been posting press releases over the years and keeping track of what you've been doing and really proud of your accomplishments.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, it takes people like you for putting me on the air so I can get my thoughts and my opinions out there, and just like people like on websites and social media, just at heart, and we're here to stay.
Okay. Awesome. And you're a southpaw, it says on Box Rec.
Yeah, southpaw.
What's that like?
Pardon?
What's that like? How does that help you or hurt you, you think, as a boxer?
Why, maybe a southpaw?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes, it benefits me, I believe, because not a lot of girls, there's not a lot of southpaw sparring and stuff like that. So when I get in there, when I fight a girl, they'll probably be confused and stuff like that. But, I don't think it hurts me because I've been doing it for so long as a southpaw, so.
I don't know if you're a big fan of Ramsey Bartholomew. But if you've seen his last premier boxing champions fight there, Rancés Barthelemy from Cuba.
Oh, yes. So, yes, I've seen him fight, yes.
Yeah.
Very, very excited for it.
Yeah, he actually switches styles a lot. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, yes.
A really good
I can do it. I tried it. Like,
yeah,
I'm helping my sister. I'm helping my sister spar with for her fight in Argentina, and the girls are righty. And when I go righty, I'm like, holy cow, this thing sucks. She beats me up. I'm like, oh my god, I can't. And I tell my trainer, I said, I don't know if I can stop. No, no, you have to help her out. I'm like, oh god, she's beating me up though.
Well, sometimes you gotta get good at both sides, like especially in MMA, I think, because that's what I'm training for now. I used to box, but I'm getting into MMA. Because I think boxing is so weak in MMA that if I could just defend the takedowns, most of the fights I could do really well if I could just, you know, defend that takedown.
Yeah, I mean, that's
off the ground. That's all I gotta do.
MMA is a brutal sport. I mean, you have to. It's a lot of work.
Right. I don't want to get in at the amateur level, which I think I could.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but whatever. I mean, as long as you're doing something, you're working out, you're training, that's a great thing. And it's a great accomplishment when you go in there and you do the stuff that you learn and you're able to see it. And if you win, it's a great feeling.
Right. But I see it a lot more in boxing. I mean, I see it in MMA, too, the switching stances, but I'm starting to see it more in boxing, too. Bebu Chumanov just had a fight where he used the switch stances a lot against BJ Flores. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess they try to confuse their opponents in switching.
Right.
I mean, it'll confuse the hell out of me before I confuse my opponent.
Right. That's one thing, trying to go a whole round, doing a different stance. But, you know, if you're doing your southpaw stance all of a sudden and you see all of a sudden, wait a second, if I go right hand, I could really nail her with a straight left or something. And you for like 5 seconds.
I spar with the guys and they, you know, they switch up on me and I'm able to see because I know when my lead hand is with my opponent's lead hand, you know, I go to that hand. I don't go into his power hand, and when he switches I go the opposite way. So, you know, it's good learning too what the guys do for me.
Yeah, it's something I think it's like what I always say about MMA, same thing for boxing. You always gotta find out something different. Nobody else is doing, you know, some different combination or different strength that nobody else has as good as you and work on it and master it. And that's how you get there. You know, that's how you climb through the ranks, I think. The most dynamic
players
out there that mix it all together in MMA and in boxing are the ones that get the belts. And people discount defense so much. Even Mike Tyson had defense in his heyday.
Yeah, he did. No, he did. And you should try to see people trying to imitate him, but they're still getting hit.
Yeah, and, you know, in MMA, I'm always pointing out how these guys and girls are coming in there with their hands at their chest level, or even one hand at the chest level. You know, there's very few boxers that can even master the up jab. They've been doing it for years. You know,
mm-hmm.
Try it in boxing, but they suck at it. And in MMA, everybody's trying to do it, you know, like, it's easy. You can't do an up jab. If you only got one hand defending your face most of the time, you're going to get screwed up, you know, if you get
the whole object is to not get hit. Your hand, in the very beginning when my trainer taught me, it was always, I had to pinch my cheeks to make sure my hand was off. if I didn't feel it on my cheeks, then I wasn't doing it right.
Nice. Good point. So tell us, what's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight?
Everything I do is important. I definitely have to have my road work in there, and a lot of sparring. It gets me more comfortable in the ring. So, yeah, that's very important.
Cool. How about your all-time favorite fighters, boxing and whoever you have to watch nowadays, every time they're on the fight?
Yo, of course, I have to say all my Puerto Rican fighters, like Trinidad and Miguel Cotto. You know, I'm Puerto Rican from the heart. So, you know, I love their styles. Pretty much that's it. I'm not too much of a Mayweather fan. I like just You see me fight. I like to get hit, and I like to hit.
Awesome.
Yeah. What do you think about Cotto's research and if they're starting with Freddie Roach?
Who?
Miguel Cotto. What do you think about his recent resurgence after he started training with Freddie Roach?
Oh, wow, yes, his hook is back. I'm happy for that. I love it. That's what he was missing with his last couple of fights, but now he's back. I mean, I'm rooting for him 100% for his fight with Canelo. But
that'd be a good fight. That's going to be a hell of a fight. I was lucky enough, my one friend, I'm from right outside of Philadelphia, so I used to go to a lot of fights in Atlantic City. And a friend of mine a couple years ago, he was able to get comp tickets from when Cotto was defending his title against, what was the boy's name? The boy was and we were at that fight. It was back in 2008. And it was actually that he was beating the men's up. And we were about four rows back. I remember Alfonso was walking back to the dressing room. I said, it actually looked like somebody put a bicycle pump in his mouth and pumped his face up. It was that small.
You're breaking up a little bit.
No, just saying how fun it was when Miguel was champ for the first time going down to see him fight live in person.
Yeah, that's my I need that off my bucket list. I need to meet him and watch one of his fights.
Yes. How about is there anybody out there you really want to fight other than Ronda in your box career?
I'm ranked number one. I'm a world champion, and I'm willing to fight anybody in there. Whoever they put in front of me, you know, I just train, I fight hard. Any of the other champions, I'll fight. It doesn't matter to me. I'll fight. I'm a fighter at heart.
Awesome. And what do you love most about the sport of boxing?
The learning and being able to do it in the ring. And what I'm being taught, being able to actually do it and having an outcome like a knockout or a win. It's just, you know, it's a great thing, you know, to do what you do and able to accomplish that.
Oh.
If no one likes to get hit. If I come out with a black eye if I get a first round knockout, so.
Job done. Yeah, I've noticed too that once you get a couple slaps across the head in a boxing match, I mean, I've only done a little bit of amateurs, not really a lot of fights, 5 fights officially amateur in college, and some sparring sessions, but you know, in that little time, I noticed that, yeah, once you take those first couple hits, you do feel better.
Yeah, I do.
Unless you really clobbered and you're on the canvas by then.
Yeah, I know. My trainer has a joke that I get offended when I don't get hit. Because he has to get hit all the time. And I'm like, but I have to feel it to go in there. And then once I feel their punches, then it's total domination for me and my body. Like, I need to know what I'm going up against. And once I feel it, there's no turning back. I'm like, crazy mode.
Kind of interesting because that's pretty much how Ronda and Misha won their last 2 fights with their boxing skills the same way. They took a couple just before they ended up, you know, really figuring out the style and realizing they could punch back harder.
So the very beginning, that's how I was, just go get them. I don't care what you do to me as long as I'm getting in there and doing something to you. If you're feeling my punches, then I'm doing something right.
Exactly. Now, do you have a favorite punch?
Well, my left hand is coming out pretty good nowadays. Just my straight 1-2. I think I'm perfecting that.
Yeah, geez, even the 1-2 in MMA sometimes I notice is just horrible. They don't do it enough.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't. I never seen like a straight punch land, but
It was a fight over the weekend. Stefan Struve versus Vieira, who's been in the league forever, you know. And Stefan Struve could have knocked him out in the third round if he just could have thrown a right hand. He was just throwing jabs, and this guy is like 7 foot tall. He's over 7 foot tall, I think. It's ridiculous reach, you know, and he's not even throwing a single right hand. I'm like, where's your 1-2? That's your basic boxing right there. Come on, buddy. Wouldn't do it. Anyway, how can people find you out there in cyberspace? Or, you know, obviously, you're on BoxRec.
Well, on Facebook, it's Cindy and Amanda Serrano with the N. And on Instagram and Twitter, Serrano Sisters.
You got any final thoughts? Anything, any shout-outs you want to give or anything?
No, I just want to thank my team. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here where I'm at now. My advisor, David Schuster, helped for me in my career. And my promoter, Greg Cohen. And just, I hope, you know, they back me up in this and they take me to the top, as, you know, as Dana White is doing for Ronda. And, of course, my trainer and my sister, you know, I thank them every day. I'm grateful for them for allowing me to do this and being there 100%. And it's been definitely a fun ride, and I'm going to continue to be on the top. And I'm just ready for anything or anyone.
Awesome.
So, yeah, and if Vonda wants it, bring it. And then she can throw her trainer in there, too, if she wants.
Hey. All right.
Because my trainer is a lot bigger, too.
There you go. Edmund. Challenge it out there. Oh, man, I can't believe it's been this long since we've got you on the show, but awesome interview, and we thank you for taking the time out to chat with us tonight, and we wish you luck in your career. We'll definitely be following you.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me, for allowing me to be and speak my mind, and this is a great opportunity, and I look forward to having another interview with you guys.
Sure.
Absolutely.
After you knock Ronda out.
I would like to know will you guys be able to let me know where would I be able to hear this interview?
Yeah, I'm going to send an email to Fernando, and I'm sure to Jordan. And I think I sent him the link, so he has it.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Live is the one that you listen to the recording at. But
okay.
The quick way to remember it is fightradio.info. I'm registered that.
Okay. That's good enough for me. But remember, I'm a boxer. I get hit a lot. So.
See, when I forget something at work, that's my excuse. I got brain damage.
I can use that sometimes.
You know, that people don't realize is you do take a lot more punishment to the head because people throw more to the head in boxing than MMA.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep.
So. You know, there's so many more kicks involved in MMA that you can do from a distance that you really actually get into a lot of hands action unless the two people really want to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
Anyway, great talking to you, Amanda. We'll let you go and definitely get you back on in the future.
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much and have a great night. I really appreciate you guys.
Good luck, Amanda.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Real deal. Nickname. The real deal. Ranking number one in the world. That's Super Featherweight. Watch that care. Great interview there, and great lady. And like I said, we've been just probably since MySpace putting her stuff out there.
Oh, wow.
Following her and her sister, the Serrano sisters. Done a lot for boxing, a lot for female boxing. And I love that voice, Puerto Rican from New York. It's a great accent. It kind of reminds me a little of Rosie Perez, who was on Premier Boxing Champions on ESPN as a commentator for the first time.
I thought you did a good job last week.
Yeah, great job. Great fights, too. Paulie made a game of it, but boy, Teddy Atlas with the telestrator.
The fact is, it's too wide of the stance, absolutely.
Yes. I always shoulder width.
And here's the other thing about having your stance too wide. And I learned this, kind of later after I was actually out of Lock Haven.
And they brought the one trainer in because they couldn't figure out why my right hand was somewhat mediocre. And even when I was laying some shots, I mean, I knocked guys down with my right hand just because they were always looking for my left hook. And I remember one trainer came in, he goes, your feet are too wide apart. He goes, you're short. And he goes, and you're overcompensating. You're stepping in too much. And with your lead hand, your jab hand, you're letting your feet get wide apart. Then if you throw your right hand, you can't get the full torque in the punch because your feet are too wide apart. And you can't really turn your hip into it. And I was like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And that's when they tied the rope between my feet. Like they kind of did it, I saw in Rocky. But what Charlie Goldman had really done with Rocky Marciano, you know, to help him be able to turn his full body into them punches and not get too wide apart. And that's how my right hand, it was never as good as my left hook, but it gotten better. Now, as Paulie had his feet so wide apart, well, you're not going to get any power on your punches. And as Teddy accurately said before the fight, if the guy attacks you, it takes you that extra hit to get away, to set your feet and get away. And Paulie took a lot of punishment. But the most thing I got, the thing I got to say out of that fight more than anything was the class and the respect that both of them showed after it was over.
Yeah. They hugged it out.
Yeah.
Paulie didn't want to let go. Look at that.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's ridiculous as this sounds, what I was kind of thinking of at that time was when I was in high school, and it was my last football game, and we weren't making the playoffs that year. We were going to miss it by one game, and we were playing our last game of the season. We were kind of just finishing the season out. It was all the seniors. I was just coming back off a knee injury. It was actually my third game of the year because I missed almost the entire season, but I wanted to come back for my last two games, and I just came back, and I remember that game was over, and I played high school football for 4 years. Say I was great, I was never a superstar, but I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed being part of the team, and when that game was over, I sat on that bus, and I couldn't take my shoulder pads off, because I knew when I took them off, I was never putting them on again, and that kind of bothered me, and I think with Paulie, and I kind of felt that with him. When he was holding on to Danny Garcia, and I think he was like, this is the last time I'm really going to be part of this brotherhood as an active participant. And I think he was just holding on a little bit longer just to savor it just a little bit more.
He was using a lot of words to say, you kicked my ass, Danny.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you're good. You better stick this through your 60. No. he said he got a good job commentating afterwards, too, and he's going to retire. His face was so badly cut up. I mean, it was really a mercy stop by the referee.
Oh, it was. The referee did a great job.
But Danny looked impressive. You know, he didn't expect him to win. A lot of people expected him to win. Yeah, I thought it was a good fight card altogether. I think the next one, the next big one on Spike is going to be even bigger because it's two former guests of ours now. We got Antonio Tarver. I fulfilled Tony's wish. And believe it or not, Tony, we've got another big boxing guest next week. I've got a big surprise.
Who's that?
I'm only going to surprise word, and I'm going to see if you can guess it.
Okay, go ahead.
The big guy, Hurricane. Hurricane?
Hurricane.
Hurricane.
Well, really, okay, Peter Mealy?
Yes. First guess.
Peter Mealy. I am awesome.
Peter McNeely is on the show next week.
Oh wow!
You know, he liked one of my comments a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he was
on a boxing website. He wrote something, and it was somebody. I think they were quoting and I call him Apollo's trainer Duke, because he was not Rocky's trainer until really Rocky IV. Apollo's trainer Duke, and he said something, and I chimed in with a, let's start building some hurting bombs. And he's like, that's awesome. I'm like, oh my God, Peter Mealy saying my comment's awesome.
Yeah, he commented on a picture of Ronda Rousey with her black eyes. I said right back to him, we'd love to have you on the radio show. And then it turned into like an hour worth of chats back and forth you know, and just talking about all kinds of shit, lumber work, you know. I told him I was a lumberjack up here, and oh yeah, I used to do that in Massachusetts, and you knew about George Foreman doing it, and, you know, we just went back and forth about a lot of stuff, and it ended up being a really long conversation.
You know what? I think Peter, in a way, kind of did himself a disservice. You know, after that Tyson fight, okay, you know, he got the fight. He had a good record. It was not only a padded record, but he, you know, he was actually one of the finalists to play Tommy Gunn in Rocky V before it went to Tommy Morrison.
Yeah, he said that. I figured you would know that.
Yeah. And I think, because, I mean, you got to remember this. They're playing the Tommy Gunn character was an Oklahoma kid. Well, who better to play an Oklahoma kid than an Oklahoma kid? You know, you're going to say this kid, yeah, I'm down home Oklahoma. And he comes in there, I'm from, how do you say it, like, you know, Oklahoma, you know, and I'm actually from Boston, you know. Maybe you want to be Oklahoma with a Boston accent. But I think he did himself a disservice. You know, he was going to fight Mike Tyson, and, you know, he went out there, and hey, you can't say the guy didn't try. He came flying out of that corner, and he was taking some shots. His trainer did the right thing in stopping the fight. But I thought the thing that really, I think, hurt him more than anything, okay, people were busting his stone. He got knocked out by Mike Tyson in, you know, 40 seconds or whatever it was, or 50 seconds, and you were taking a beating. Well, you know, so did Michael Spinks, and so did a lot of other guys. Some guys didn't even last as long as McNeely did. Now, the thing that I still say hurt him was right after the fight, he did a commercial for Pizza Hut and basically made fun of himself. You know, he was like, it was like a pizza, and he's picking it up. The pizza hits him on the chin, and he gets knocked out.
Right.
Now, I'm sure they offered him a lot of money for that, but I'm like, you're basically spoofing your whole career. You didn't see Michael Spinks doing that. You didn't see, you know, Carl the Truth Williams doing that, or a lot of other guys Mike Tyson knocked out in the first round. I thought it was a discredit to himself, but that's just my opinion.
All right, well, don't bring that story up tomorrow. I mean, next week. We might have a fight on the air. Whoa, Peter.
Oh, how much money you got for it?
No, but he actually told me he didn't want to talk about the Rocky stuff. He said, I don't want to talk about Hollywood boxing. I'm not obsessed with it. But he did mention that he was second in line for Tommy Gunn. But yeah, he said his father's got an interesting career too. He fought Floyd Patterson. Father.
Yeah. Died. Yes, he did.
2 years ago, I think. But yeah, they were talking about him on the ESPN during a Friday night fights when he died, his father. And so he's got a lot of boxing knowledge, and he's obviously an MMA fan if he's commenting on a picture of Ronda Rousey's black eyes. But, you know, the caption said a lot can happen in 34 seconds. So, you know, obviously he can relate to that, too.
Very true.
But, yeah, anybody that steps into the ring as a professional and, you know, fights that much, I got a lot of respect for. It does suck the way it kind of turned out for him. And, you know, sudden stardom, you know, here you are, the biggest fight of your life, and it's way too soon for you, way too big a competition, and you're way out of your league, and you know, shit happens, but you still got a great story. Somebody should.
Absolutely. And you know what? Nobody can ever take that away from you.
Right.
You know, you were in there with, you know, the most recognizable boxing figure of a generation.
Mm-hmm. You got there.
And quite possibly the most controversial boxing figure maybe of all time. That includes Muhammad Ali, Jack Johnson.
And Mike Tyson, too. Quick point. Ronda Rousey met with Mike Tyson at the gym prior to this fight with Betch O'Hare. And they were talking about after the fight when they all, you know, when fighters realize at the end of the day, when they're in the shower or in front of the mirror, nobody else around, what happened that day. You know, you kind of go, whoa, geez, you know, I'm champion of the world. You know, so they both can relate to this idea, right? So Tyson sits there and tells Ronda, yeah, I would sit there naked with cash all around me, running in the mirror with my belt. nothing but my belt on. And Rhonda was kind of chuckled, you know, and she's like, yeah, yeah, I get that same feeling in the shower. I was like, whoa. But they're like two peas in a pod, those two, as far as their styles, the way they're fighting these days. Well, not obviously these days for Tyson, but Rousey reminds me a lot of Tyson in a smaller package. But, yeah, Amanda was right to say that nobody's really been defensive with her. Everybody tried to go run at her. Even Kat Zingado ran right at her. That's what she wants. Take a step back. Have a feel-out round. You know, maybe that's why Misha Tate does so well. She knows that. Anyway, we got to talk about those fights. All we talked about is the main event. 34 seconds. Over. And Betch is quite the delusional athlete. Because she said recently she still thinks she can beat Rousey after she got her ass kicked. She's suddenly saying she still thinks she can. Anyway, getting off that subject. So many more fights to talk about. Yeah, Mauricio Hua in the co-main event beating Antonio Rogério Nogueira. This is the only fight I got wrong in my predictions that I did on Friday afternoon. I'm so pissed. Because I really thought Nogueira did enough to win. That third round was very pivotal. And they gave it to Hua, I think. And I thought Nogueira did enough to win, but that was another example of not doing your 1-2s. Now, he's a southpaw, so he's 1-2 his left hand, you know, second punch. He was not throwing his left hand. He was throwing jabs. And the same thing for Stefan Struve, except he's regular traditional in the last round. And, you know, you've got to be able to, if you're hitting him, Hua doesn't defend himself very well. You're hitting him in the face with a jab. Where's the follow-up? Throw the 1-2. I don't know. Sometimes fighters make me scratch my head. What did you think of that fight, Tom? Who do you think won?
Well, you know, it was one of those, you could argue either way, but I'm not arguing too much about the decision. And I just read today that Dana has offered Nog a job with the organization. Oh, you're talking about his younger brother. Okay.
He's bad by Stefan Struve, even though Stefan didn't knock him out.
Yeah.
Could've.
No, you got to tell him a little Nog. Yeah, after the first round, I didn't see how Shogun could keep going. I mean, he looked terrible. But he came back and somehow edged it out. So getting close. But I don't know. Do you remember how he looked after that first round? I mean, it was like, wow. But
yeah.
Somehow he
He didn't have enough faith in his boxing, and like the 1-2 was the most basic.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one reason why I'll always say that a lot of these, especially the older fighters, they just don't understand for some reason. You need your boxing to be really up there. Boxing is actually getting better and better in MMA, but it's still way behind actual boxers, I think. Ronda Rousey may be able to beat a girl here and there in training, but I still think Amanda's right. If she goes in against a real, real champ, she's going to have a tough time dealing with the defense.
Well, yeah. Well, if I wouldn't have had this laryngitis, I would have said more. But the point is, in MMA, the stand-up can be either a little harder or a little easier. Now, my point is you have more things you can get hit with, but you also have options on the feet. You can kick, you can knee, you can elbow. So if your boxing skills are a little deficient, you might not be exposed and you could still do okay on the feet. But in a boxing match, that's a whole other story. You got two weapons and that's it. And if you're deficient there's no other option. So that's where I just think Rhonda, you know, and I know how good her stand-up's been, but you notice she gets the knees, the kicks, the elbows. I think she'd have a very tough time with Amanda just in a pure boxing match. As Amanda's bright enough to know, she'd have a very tough time with Rhonda on the ground or in an MMA fight. But, yeah, it's just a whole, whole another, all those little subtle, all those little subtle things that would be so hard for someone coming over from MMA to really be good at it. I don't think we've seen it yet. I mean, I can't think of an example. If you guys have, now Nick Diaz says he wants to do it, and Jens Pulver tried, but he never lasted too long in boxing. Went right back to MMA. So there you go.
Former guest of ours who did it, Chris Lytle.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, he's a very rare commodity in that. So it is doable. But
saying
I
at
also,
one point, Junior said, "Hey, if you don't get Anderson Silva to fight you, I'll fight you in a boxing match."
You know, and I think also that we may be seeing a change with some boxing trainers that just from, you know, wanting a little more, wanting another paycheck, that are trying to adapt the boxing style to MMA somewhat. But, you know, Tony, you had a good point about that. I mean, I don't blame you for walking out of there. I mean, give me a break. Boxing's just punching. You know, if you just said, thanks for the opportunity, I'm leaving, you're a gentleman. I wanted to say something a little more colorful, like you're an idiot, you know. I mean, I just amazing to hear something like that. I mean, that level of ignorance is just off the charts. I mean, there are so many little tiny things. Learning how to roll with the punch. Do you know how many years that takes?
Yeah.
And some guys never get it. I remember before one fight, I'm reading it in a book. I was okay. Yeah, I'll try that. Yeah, how long did that last? About 15 seconds. Like, gee, I forgot to roll, you know? I mean, we are talking hours and hours and hours on hours as far as handling yourself in the clinch, how different that is from an MMA clinch. I mean, there's just so many little intricate things that it takes so long. I mean, and people don't appreciate the fact that these little things can make a very big difference, a huge difference, especially at the higher levels. So Amanda's, you know, she got me as a fan. She's a smart gal. I haven't been able to Google any of her fights, but it sounds like she's my kind of gal coming in there. And, hey, I'll get hit. I want to hit. So that's exciting.
And
here you go.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, I was going to say, last Saturday, I had a new trainee come over. First time ever training. And she's a few years older than me. She's in the, you know, early 40s, a friend of the family. And she's very unathletic, very uncoordinated. But she wants to know, she's actually going to bring her niece over, who's in her late 20s, early 30s, who happens to be, and Rich is going to love this, she happens to be very athletic. And she also has done some work, promotional work, for the UFC.
Whoa.
So I think we're getting a pipeline for interviews now. But I've only met her one time, and I haven't really talked to her. So hopefully she's able to come over this weekend. And I kind of told the girl I trained last week, Denise, I said, I'm kind of glad you're here first, because I hate to say this, Denise, but I said, right now, I think we're getting basic addition, where your niece, even boxing-wise, is probably going to be up to trigonometry and way behind her. Because she's athletic and she's done, you know, at least, even if she's never competed, she's been around combat type of sports and she's done some working out, or you have not. But then again, you know, and I could be wrong saying this, because she might be so ingrained in a mixed martial arts type of training, I might have to break her all the way down and then start her all over again. So she might even be way behind because she's trained in something else.
Yeah.
But as I was training this girl Denise last week, and she really could barely walk, you know, much less get in a stance, I said, okay, here's the first thing I'm going to teach you. Everybody wants to always start with their power hand front. And she was like, well, yeah. I said, why? Because I want to throw my power hand. I said, you do it, I'm going to chop it off. I said, you ever play baseball? Yeah. I said, you ever play baseball? No. You ever play softball? No. I said, can you throw a ball? Yes. Okay. I said, like, you're pitching. Like, I'm the batter right now. You're going to pitch me a baseball. And I said, show how you would throw it. And she got into like a pitcher's stance. I said, funny, you're not leading with your lead hand or your power hand. Your power hand's behind. Well, that's the way I'm supposed to pitch. Why is it different in boxing then?
Good point. Good point.
I did that all the time. When I train somebody for the first time, I make them throw me a baseball or a football. And I say, okay, see the way you see the way your feet are right now? Your power hand is going to be back because when you're ready to throw that power hand, because I said messed up, but for most people, the power punch is the dominant hand. And I said, you're going to have to learn how to use your lead hand to make it an effective weapon, but also how to set our hand, kind of blind them, and then knock their block off. And how to do that. And she said, hips and, you know, step back and forth and side to side. But then again, that's why I enjoy doing it. To see if her niece is coming over this weekend, and I'm going to train both of them. I said, now kind of your advantage. There's some bad news because she was all nervous about training. But don't train me too hard. I said, no, your niece isn't going to. Well, I got good news and bad news. The good news is you get my. Is you get my full attention.
You know, Tony, that is a great analogy. That is really a great analogy. I'm adding it to my Tony's classic quotes. That has got to be there. I mean, just you using that, like your power hands behind you in any sport. And here, I mean, you get your weaker hand. You know, to me, I've heard this from square one. The most important punch in boxing is the jab because it sets everything else up, and it's so versatile. I mean, you think about it. You can use it offensively. If you've got the power, you know, you can, what's the old saying, cook with the jab, or you can use it defensively to make someone pay as they're coming in, or you can use it like this guy Andy Gannigan, the old lightweight champ. What he would do, he'd just kind of flick it out and just as a distraction. And then he'd slide in behind it and start unloading those heavy combinations. But it's so versatile. You can jab to the body, jab to the head. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do with it that you can't do with your power hand unless you're some kind of freaking agent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very difficult.
Yeah, exactly. Now, hey, I think some boxers switch up and do it very well. Hank Lundy does it, you know, relatively often. He switches up. Other fighters switch up. We were talking about, his name's escaping me, the guy that just beat DJ Flores. He was switching up, and he did it very well. Some guys, as we were just talking to Amanda, can't do that. Or some girls, in her case, can't do that. Don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable doing it.
Right.
Now, you'll get the rare fighter that the dominant hand is their lead hand, and built a very good career.
Well, you know, I'm just traditional enough to say I think the burden's on the fighter. You've got to prove you can do it and not get caught when you're transitioning. And the same thing in MMA, we're seeing more of it, but we used to see it because the guy's front leg was being half broken from all those kicks he was eating. So you'd see him switch stance involuntarily. But now we're seeing more of it, and guys are getting a little better. But I agree with you. It's the kind of thing you've got to practice. And most guys have just not been able to do it good consistently. And now Marvin Hagler was pretty slick at it. You know, you see some guys that can do it. But as a rule, you know, I think Bruce Lee, for all the great he did for martial arts, he kind of got that nonsense started. In some of his books, he said, keep that power hand forward. Well, that's just no. And the point I was making earlier about how I think the boxing will get better in MMA is we're seeing these boxing trainers come in, and they're able to adjust the game somewhat. Like when the Giacanti brothers, who were, you know, boxing royalty in my book, but when they were up at Strong Style, they just couldn't seem to understand that you're up against takedowns, you're up against kicks, and they were teaching boxing as in a boxing gym. Well, you can use a lot of that, but you got to make some adjustments. And I think more boxing trainers are starting to see that now. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they wanted me to, train people in this gym a couple years ago. And I said, if I do this, it has to be my way. And
right.
I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I am no more qualified to teach somebody in the art of mixed martial arts than, Richard Simmons would be, to be honest. I can teach you how to box. That's about it. A long enough time, but that's not the name of the game. And so I can't teach, and I can't teach you all the different kinds of strikes and the different kinds of takedowns. I can teach you boxing very well, but when it comes to technique, and I can, really technique into your head. But that's about it.
All right. Well, maybe we have to finish the UFC 190 card. A lot of people complained about the tough fights that were the fights between the co-main event and Stefan Struve beating the shit out of Rodrigo Nogueira. And I really didn't watch a lot of them. They went a long way into each fight. One was a submission, but it was like with 14 seconds left in the fight. Glyco Franca beat Fernando Bruno Vera. And then Reginaldo Vieira got a decision over Plano Lopes. That was a back-and-forth fight. I did watch a lot of it, but it wasn't very intriguing to me. A lot of people complained there was actually an article written that they should not put tough fights on pay-per-view ever again. I don't know if I can say it.
Mm-hmm.
Those were not the highlights of the night, that's for sure. Stefan Struve making his comeback, it was pretty intense because he did have an excuse for not knocking Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira out, which I actually predicted he would do in the second or third round. I thought he was going to. I thought he had enough power, but he actually was deathly sick before this fight. He was diarrheaing everywhere and vomiting, and they didn't think he was going to make it. And after fainting in the freaking locker room and having the heart condition, you wondered, geez, what's going on with this guy? His body's trying to tell him he doesn't want to fight. And but he got to the fight, and he made it, and he fought. But like I said, he did not throw that right hand when he could have, and he's got the reach. And then he kind of almost insulted Nogueira by picking him up like he did at the end of the fight. It's kind of like saying, you're my hero. But at the same time, it was kind of like disrespectful, I think. Nogueira was all
I know. I don't think he meant it that way, but I agree. It could have come off that way.
Yeah. Struve is his nickname is Skyscraper, so he's got vicious reach and doesn't have obvious muscular physique, but if you got that good a jab, obviously you got a better right hand, and to not throw that, there's no excuse for that unless he was purposely trying not to hurt Nogueira. Wanted to do
well. You have to remember that Teddy Atlas axiom. If you're not going to fight tall, why be tall? It's all about range, and I think he did a great job of that, controlling the range. That was his game plan going in. Duh. Like, we were surprised. That's the key for him.
The fat island, Antonio Silva, got a big win over Soa Pelele in the second round, TKO, and his boxing looks pretty crisp. He got the job done there, and Soa just didn't show up to the fight. Just did not look like he was ready for a guy like Silva. And finally, Silva got an opponent that he was matched up well against, that he could handle. It seems like they've been throwing him to a lot of guys that taking advantage of him being a step slower at times. But, he connects with those big meat hooks. You're all done. And Claudia Gadella had a great fight against Jessica Aguilar. Unanimous decision there. Turned her nose sideways there for a little while. It was quite the exhibition of boxing technique, mostly. But a lot of other parts of the game came out. And she really guaranteed herself another shot with the champ, Jędrzejczyk. And We've got Damian Maya also got the big win over Neil Magny, where Nick and Choke in the second round.
That was impressive, because when you look back on it, Neil was on quite a roll going into that fight. And that was a great victory for Damian, and I think it boosts his chances now. I mean, he's definitely in the top five. I mean, I haven't seen the official rankings since then, but I would assume he's knocking on the door. I mean, he's got a good streak going, so see how he does.
And I'm not going to go through all the way to the first fight of the night, but we've got to mention these last two. Patrick Cummins got into a little bit of a war with Rafael Cavalcante and came out looking pretty busted up, but he got the win, TKO, a lot of elbows. In the third round, just totally put the lights out. That was 45 seconds in. He just pretty much, knew the fight was close. He just said, I'm going to end it right now. Pretty much did it. Pretty good stuff there. And then Warley Alves, how's that for a fighting name, Tony? Is that better than Tyson Fury? Warley?
It's a good name, but I think Tyson Fury is better.
He fought Nordine Taleb. He beat him by submission, guillotine choke. And that was 4-1-1 of round two. He didn't know. Anyway, we got a big fight coming up this weekend. We'll get to the boxing action. We've got August 8th. What's that? Is that Friday? Or is that Saturday? What's August?
August 8th is Saturday.
Okay. So this is a fight night. That's probably on Fox Sports. It's one thing I don't understand about Sherdog. You're the freaking number one source of fighter freaking records and schedules. If you don't put what freaking TV network is covering the fight on the fight page. I can understand usually fight nights are on Fox Sports, but come on. I mean, what the hell? Where's the preliminaries? Give me a heads up here. But anyway, the main event there is Glover Teixeira, 22-4, fighting Ovin St. Preux, who had a lot of his wins in Strikeforce, but he's been in the UFC for a while. He's 18-6. And Michael Johnson is also the co-main event in this card. He's fighting Benil Dariush. Michael Johnson, 16-8. Dariush is 11-1. Do you know who he lost to, Tom?
Who's that?
Okay, now, let me see, was it, let me go focus back here, not Cowboy, or was it Cowboy?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, he shouldn't get it anymore. Ramzi Najem.
Oh,
he
okay.
He's pretty, run. He was beating people, left and right, but. My favorite fight of the night is actually the 11th fight of the night. It's like the Coco main event. Sam Alvey, former guest of ours, known for smiling. He's 26-6. He smiled during his fights. He smiled after his fights. He smiled before his fights. Smiling Sam Alvey, that's his nickname. Fighting Derek Brunson, who's 13-3. And that's a big step up for Alvey. This is the guy also Strikeforce, big name. Big fight here. And the big guys, the next fight, Jared Rushalt, 12-2, fighting Timothy Johnson, 9-1. So these are some pretty decent fights, especially if this is free cable TV. Chris Camozzi, 21-10, fighting Tom Watson, also on this card. Tom is 17-8. Ray Borg, 8-1, fighting Gian Herrera, who's 8-0, undefeated. And Uriah Hall fighting somebody I never heard of, but he's 5-0. I can't even pronounce his name. Oluwale, I guess, the first name. Bamjibos. Uriah Hall is 10-5. Ultimate Fighter veteran there, and known for one of the most vicious knockouts in the series history. With that heel kick there to the freaking chin or the forehead. I forget which it was. Put the guy down pretty quick. And we've got the female fight, Sarah McMahon, 8-2, fighting Amanda Nunes, who's 10-4. And another former guest. A lot of former UFC guests on this card here. Even though Smiling Sam wasn't in the UFC when we talked to him. Whoop-ass Willie. I just talked to him a couple weeks ago. Whoop-ass Willie is on this card. He's fighting in the fifth fight of the night. He's 12-5. He's fighting Dustin Ortiz, who's 14-4. And he's actually stepping in for Ian McCall, who we also can get on the show. We have access. But also Frankie Sands, 10-2, fighting Sirwan Kakai, who's 12-2. Jonathan Wilson, 6-0, fighting Chris Dempsey, 11-2. Marlon Vera, 6-2, fighting Roman Salazar, 9-3. And Anthony Christodoulou, who is 12-5, is fighting Scott Holtz, 7-0. Pretty stacked card, especially if it's free. Then we've got boxing. So, what do we got for boxing this week? Weekend. What did we miss from last week? I feel like we missed some. August 1st, right? Matisse got a win, according to Boxster here. Over some guy who I don't want to try to pronounce his name. MRD, it starts. And then there's a J. How do you pronounce it? Tom, do you get any clue there?
No.
MRD. Mergenovic, I guess. Some J. Mergenovic. Matisse got a victory there. Obviously, we talked about Danny. Yes. I'm not recognizing any of these other names. Sorry. You suck, Boxrec, by the way. As we all know. The new Boxrec is horrible. Let me check out the calendar here. Let's see what we got. I thought about Al Haymon picked up Fox Sports. That's going to piss off Golden Boy. That was the last spot he had. And Al Haymon took it. But they got one night, actually. USA Fox Espanol, Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy Promotions. Thursday night, Abram versus Jorge Diaz in the main event. Featherweight fight. Lopez is 18-0-1. Diaz 18-3-1. That's tonight. Let's see what else we got. Nothing really big on that card. This De La Hoya is going to have to step up his game, huh, guys? Keep up with Al. Big Al. He's taking over. You guys going to wake up in 10 years and Al Haymon is going to be the only promoter in boxing. Nobody left. Don King still at it, though. I just put a press release out for Don King. He's got a fight card coming up. Here's one. I say Showtime, Friday night, Showbox. We've got some stuff on the blog about this fight, too. We've got a guy I've actually seen in action in the co-main event, Elvin Ayala. Saw him fight at the Roxy in Boston. He's 28-6-1. He's fighting Sergey Derevyanchenko, who is 5-0. And, you know, we don't know the knockouts or anything because Boxrec sucks. But Evgeny Kertov in the main event. He's 10-0. Fighting Nick Brinson in the main event at Atlantic City's Bally. He's 17-3 as Nick Brinson with two draws. And Regis is fighting a Cowart in the next fight. Regis Prograce is 4-0, and Amos Cowart is 11-0-1. Super lightweight. First two fights were middleweight, by the way. And a couple journeymen going at it here. Avtandil Kurtzidze, who's 30 wins, 2 losses, 2 draws, fighting Melvin Betancourt, who's 29-2. On that card, pretty decent stuff there. And we get into Saturday. What's the big Saturday fight? Tony, you should know this. Are you there, Tony? Uh-oh. That's why we didn't hear Tony. Tony's off the call. Tom's there.
I'm here.
What's up? Tony hung up on us. Sometimes, you know, you gotta ask when you don't hear somebody. Uh, last week I went on a rant, and Tom, you didn't even get connected back to the show. I barely had enough time to reconnect after it got shut off. I was like talking to myself for 5 minutes. Tony, when did we lose you?
You lost me. You lost me 5 minutes ago.
You lost me at hello.
Yeah, right.
What's the big Saturday fight I was trying to ask you?
Oh, you were going to put up Doctorac.
Yeah, I've got it right now, but I'm just wondering if you know. You're supposed to know these things, Tony.
Off the top of my head? No, because, I'm sure that as soon as you say it, I'll give you a breakdown of it. I just can't get on Doctorac.
Okay. We just went over the Showbox fight. Golden Boy's actually got a big one on Saturday for USA HBO Latino. Yoandris Salinas, he's 21-1-2, fighting Manuel Avila, who's undefeated, 17-0, super bantamweight. It's for a title, interim NABF super bantamweight title.
Okay.
And then we've got Johan Perez, 20-2, with one draw at super welterweight, fighting Dmitry Mikhailenko, who's 19-0. Don't know the KOs. That's for the WBA NABA welterweight title. And Kevin Farmer at super featherweight is fighting Dallas Prescott, who's 30-2. Prescott. Kevin Farmer is 19-4-1.
And Farmer has actually been really looking good lately. I mean, he had some troubles early in his career. He's been doing well, and I even saw what he had on TV a few months ago, and he was against the favorite, the favorite, and he dominated him. I mean, he kicked the shit out of him.
Well, here's a fighter who's probably not recognized by many, but I saw him in action years ago in Plymouth, Massachusetts. This fight's this Saturday in Hyannis, Massachusetts, which is a very popular spot on Cape Cod, where the Kennedys have their compound, of course. Big stuff. Jesse Barboza. It's about to sound fight is the crowd was into it. He brought a lot of people with him, and during the fight, they were chanting his nickname, Bad News, and then he would land a punch right after they'd say it on the way to knock somebody out. Bad News was the best chant. Jesse Bad News Barboza is his name. He's 9-1-1 is his record. He's been off and on fighting. He's a heavyweight. Fighting Jesse Oltmans down there in Hyannis in the main event. He's 10-5. And also on the card, light heavyweights Paul Gonsalves, who's 7-7-1, fighting Rafael Valenzuela, who's 8-5. So hopefully Jesse Oltman's bad news isn't too bad. He's a tough guy. So he can throw a punch. For another former guest of ours is fighting in Montebello, California. Also, he's the co-main event, Sid Al-Harak, who's 12-3-2 now. He's fighting Yosmany Abreu, who's 4-11-2. In the co-main event of a fight that's really not even worth mentioning. Just for the USA California State Featherweight title. We'll skip that. James Toney is fighting this weekend, Tony. That's the big fight.
The James Toney?
The James Toney. Guess who his promoter is for this fight? Yes.
Okay.
5 seconds.
Don King?
5, 4. Guess who his promoter is? Come on, give me one more.
I said Don King.
Don King's not a good guess. Try again.
It's
the James Toney.
The promoter himself, okay.
That's why he's fighting. He's fighting Charles Ellis, who's 9-3-1. James Toney is 76-9-3 at heavyweight. Oh, man. Hopefully he's in shape.
Yeah.
70.
You know what? Speaking of doing like the self, where you're like promoting yourself anymore. A few weeks ago, when they had that one fight, the Kovalev fight, and John Pascal was on there, and they're like, brought to you by John Pascal Promotions. And I remember saying to my dad, I said, oh boy, I said, I hope the fight isn't close on the cards because you know who's going to get it. And the fight really wasn't close on the cards. Gonzalez definitely hands down won. Unfortunately, he did not get it.
Well, Tony, you were right. to say you didn't know which the big, which was the big fight of the week, because there really isn't one. Al Heyman got all the good fighters, so I'm not seeing any huge fight this weekend, because Al Heyman's not in action this weekend.
Al Heyman got the weekend off, ladies and gentlemen.
He left, left the other promoters a couple venues, too. He didn't book them all. It's just unbelievable, this guy, the moves he's making. He got a new network now, Fox Sports 1. That means he's in good with the same people that are in good with the UFC. So, you know, their commitment to combat sports is pretty intense there at Fox. And I'm excited about that, but it kind of worries me, you know, that so many people are like, Al Heyman, Al Heyman, Al Heyman. Like, all the fighters, all they want to do is thank Al Heyman. We never see Al Heyman.
Yeah, no.
Why?
He's very reclusive.
That's weird to me. Why does a guy want to stay hidden all the time? They should be interviewing Al Heyman after every fight. How do you feel about what you've built here?
You know, it's funny. Back about 30 years ago, could you imagine Don King ever turning down a microphone or a chance to appear in front of TV?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, Al Heyman needs to go to the Don King School of Advertising yourself.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Ronda Rousey, speaking of advertising yourself, she's wrote the book, My Fight, Your Fight. They're going to make a movie out of this. Sure. Go ahead. Do it. Just got a happy ending because she knocked the fuck out of the girl from Brazil. Let's go ahead. She's already been in movies, of course, herself, so, you know, she's going to play herself. Why not? So that should be good. I think it might be better than Southpaw. It's kind of getting raked over the coals a little bit lately.
Some people said it was good. I mean, I haven't gone to see it. My question is, how can they name a movie Southpaw when the fighter is right-handed? Now, I know the idea was originally supposed to be a follow-up to 8 Mile, and Eminem was going to play the lead character, and Eminem is indeed left-handed. But Jake Gyllenhaal does not play a left-handed fighter. And they said, well, someone's like, in the movie. He's not left-handed.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear that metaphor. The metaphor is that you think.
I saw Jake Gyllenhaal on Jon Stewart, and they were talking about being left-handed the whole time. They really didn't talk much about the movie at all. But it was funny anyway. speaking of, I shouldn't say funny, not funny news this week, Tony, one of your wrestling heroes, I'm sure, and one guy I always watched when I was into wrestling, Roddy Piper, the guy that gave Ronda her nickname, passed asleep last week.
And, I got the text message letting me know, and I felt like almost like part of your childhood dies, you know, when these guys leave. It's like, you know, a lot of times it's hard to watch guys get older and, you know, especially guys that, like, you know, can't do the things they used to do. I remember even when I was a kid growing up, I used to like Andre the Giant. Then he turned into a bad guy. And I'm like, oh, damn Andre the Giant. I hate Andre the Giant now. But it's like, you're a kid. You really understand, like, why they were making him wrestle in all tag team matches near the end of his career. It's because he really couldn't do much. And you're like, how are these guys, you know, beating up Andre the Giant, or they're, you know, being able to not beat him up, but, you know, be able to survive or, you know, win or do good against Andre the Giant? Because he's getting older, you know, and it's like, you know, he's slower and he can't move around as much. We all get older, but when you're, you know, 10 years old, you don't understand that. And the tribute I wrote last week on my Facebook page when I found out about, you know, Roddy Piper passing away, because like I said, man, it feels like a part of my childhood just died. I remember the first WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden. They didn't have pay-per-view back then. So what they did was you could go we went to the Philadelphia Spectrum and we watched it on the closed circuit, which I thought was just amazing because it felt like you were almost like there. You're watching on the big screen, but you were like there. You watched it with totally awesome. And, you know, you feel like part of your childhood dies. And I said, you know, tonight in tribute, I'm going to chew some bubble gum and kick some ass. Then I'm going to take a coconut and smash it over somebody's head.
Yeah, actually, I read one of his tribute articles. It was the first time I realized he was the one who first said in the movies, I'm here to kick some ass and chew bubble gum, and a lot of bubble gum. A lot of bubble gum. So I didn't know that. I knew that line. I knew of it. I didn't know where it came from, but I've heard
people. The movie. The movie They Live. And they were showing clips of it on Monday Night Raw. I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass.
Yep.
And I'm all out of bubble gum. I'm going to my friend's house in a few weeks. He does all the big pay-per-views at his house, and we all get together. We have some pizzas, and we have a good time. Last time we were there, his wife put me in the camel clutch, which was very unnecessary out of her. But I texted him the other day, I'm like, dude, I'm getting a Hot Rod t-shirt to wear at SummerSlam. He's like, yeah, I'm thinking the same idea. I'm like, oh, shit. And now I got to upstage him. Oh, yeah? I think I'm getting a kilt to go with mine.
Believe it or not, right?
He's like, an Italian guy wearing a kilt that does not fit.
Rowdy was on one of those haunting shows.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
And where he said, like, he's getting visited by the ghost of Adrian Adonis.
His best friend, you know? And
yeah.
Getting haunted by him. And the guy died young. And so at least he's, if there is an afterlife, obviously he's reunited with him, hopefully. But
yeah.
That was a sad story.
No, absolutely. Like I said, and for, someone of my age, felt like some part of my childhood, no more of him.
Yeah. And, the best thing you can say, though, is the guy fell asleep and he died. So he died in his sleep. Obviously, he's probably painless when that happens.
True.
I don't think I've ever really felt pain in my sleep. Just out of the blue, except for when maybe I get a leg cramp somewhere.
Oh, yeah, those are never fun.
But that sucks. Sorry to hear his passing so soon. He seemed like a guy who had been around forever. And he's really the definition of a character, I think. He played the Roddy.
Oh, yeah.
Great character. He was not so close. Lost his title. World Series of Fighting had an event we've got to talk about a little bit here before we sign off. Rusamar Palhares. Dirty fighter. Got a reputation as a dirty fighter. Got thrown out of the UFCs for being a dirty fighter. World Series of Fighting gives him a chance. What does he do? He becomes a dirty fighter. Again. Dirtiest fight he's ever had, I think, if you ask Jake Shields, because he got eye gouged. He got submission held on way too long.
Yeah.
Now, Tony, you know enough about MMA. When a guy taps out, you're supposed to let go of the submission.
He's close, sir.
Over and over and over and over again tapping out, and the guy's not letting go of the submission. So the guy won the fight.
Here's my question. What is the State Athletic Commission going to do about this? I mean, why does he keep getting a pass? I mean, even in the gym, the first thing you learn in there, in any jiu-jitsu or MMA gym, when a submission hold is on, you can do some serious, serious damage. And tap means stop. Now, no exceptions. And this is, if it happens once, maybe there could be an excuse. Well, I didn't hear the referee. I don't know. Yeah, you can almost understand once, but how many times now? 5, 10, 15? I can't count. He needs to be gone.
I'm not going to sell the Nevada Athletic Commission short because they could still do something, but World Series of Fighting suspended him. He was actually released from the UFC in October of 2013 because he didn't release a heel hook against Mike Pierce. And those are even more dangerous because those can throw your knee out.
Exactly. And the problem with the heel hook is a lot of times you don't realize the damage it's done until it's too late. I was caught in once, and the next day I tried to do some free squats and fell right in the floor. I sweated it out for a few days. Fortunately, it wasn't terrible. But that can really pop the tendons in your knee very easy. So he's got to go. He's got to go.
So I think they said indefinitely, but it's going to be at least a year. Sorry we can't get to all the other fights. running out of time. We can go into a little bit of overtime, though. As Tom mentioned, Rodrigo Noguera, Antonio Rodrigo Noguera, is going to get the Chuck Liddell treatment. Dana White, he's going to be a job in New York as an executive, and then he's not going to ever fight again for the UFC. Dana has his way. And there's an interesting story about Roc Nation being a little shady early in their promotional career. Demetrius Andrade, I don't think I heard anything about this, but they set him up supposedly only to cancel a bout that he was supposed to get $750,000 for, and then they dumped him as a fighter, according to this article. Roc Nation promised to pay his Andrade and $2 million to buy out his exclusive contract, and they also pledged to pay him $550,000 to cancel a fight against Jermell Charlo in December of 2014 at the MGM Grand. This is in court paperwork. Roc Nation told Andrade he could make more than with another fight that they had on HBO set up. And Roc Nation is actually denying they ever sought him out, so that's pretty shady. And we talked about last week that the UFC is suing Wanderlei, so we're running into last week's stuff there. And did you see the World Series of Fighting fights, Tom?
No, didn't catch any.
Well, not coming to mind with any other highlights except Khabib Nurmagomedov's brother had a great fight, ended in submission. So, seeing as it's 10 o'clock on the dot and I don't have it right in front of me to go over, let's just say that the main event was disappointing. But Khabib's brother, Abubakar Nurmagomedov, had a great fight against a really tough opponent. Ended up getting the submission, and I think it was a rear naked choke. Winning the fight. So, till next week with Peter McNeely, Hurricane Peter McNeely.
Yeah, I got to tell my one coworker about this tomorrow, because the one day we were talking about fighting this. Why did you ever train the Hurricane? Why did you ever train McNeely when he fought Tyson? I said, because I was 18 years old, and I was just basically in my first year of boxing myself, so I highly doubt that I was a qualified trainer at the time.
Yeah, believe it or not, Tony, he told me that he was a college boxer at one point for Westfield State.
Actually, my first college victory was over a kid from Westfield.
Yeah, it was
5 months before McNeely fought Tyson.
This was in 87 or so, he said. He was.
We'll definitely talk about that, because my first win was over a kid from Westfield, Ryan Lundgren or something like that. I stopped him in the second round.
Peter got disqualified, I think he said. Going too hard. He talked about it. I don't know. It was a long chat. But anyway, Peter McNeely, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it.
I get the feeling he's going to swear a lot, which we encourage. No, we don't encourage.
Well, hey, we have no problem with that. I still, one of my favorite quotes of all time was, when we had Diamond Dallas Page, and I asked him about the time Mick Foley put chocolate chip cookies in his bed. And I said, can you reenact your version of the story? And he goes, am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That motherfucker, you know?
Yeah, all right, guys. That's all.
Well,
all right,
gentlemen, until next week. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Thanks for stopping by. And thanks to Amanda for a great interview. That was good stuff, and may not ever happen with the Ronda fight, but even if it doesn't, you can make some good points. So, adios. We're signing off. Till next week.